One aspect of the 2018 Gilmore Keyboard Festival is a focus on the 100th anniversary of Leonard Bernstein's birth. This afternoon at 2 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater, pianist Michael Brown will perform a special program in tribute to the great composer-conductor. Michael Brown himself has been called, quote, one of the leading figures in the current renaissance of performers-composers by the New York Times. I called him up a few weeks ago in New York City to talk about his Gilmore Festival program. If I may say it, it sure looks to me like your career, Michael Brown, is currently on fire. You've just received an Emerging Artist Award from Lincoln Center and have already been honored with an award by the Avery Fisher Career Grant people in 2015. You're not only a performer, but you're also receiving commissions to compose. And this is quite a lot of activity for any one person, I would think.
That's a good point. well, thank you for that. I like being busy. And playing and composing is something I've been doing, since I was a child. So it doesn't feel so unfamiliar at this point. And I like juggling a life in both, piano and composition. I think they really feed off of each other, and I learn from both activities. So I really need to do both of them.
In the weeks preceding the Gilmore Festival appearance on May 4th, you will be traveling around the country and performing in Florida and Arizona and Maryland and Pennsylvania. I noticed in Pennsylvania there's a premiere you're probably looking forward to very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wrote a piece called Garden Quartet, which was inspired by three different gardens across the U.S. One of them is called Wave Hill up in the Bronx. And one is called Desert Botanical Garden outside, just actually in Phoenix, and I just got back from there yesterday. And the third garden is the Longwood Garden, just outside of Philadelphia. So these three gardens kind of came together to present this project, which was a new piece that I wrote for a quartet with clarinet, violin, cello, and piano, where each movement is inspired by one of these gardens. So we're presenting the concert in the garden. You know, this piece, plus a program that I designed of nature-inspired music. So
that's the same instrumentation as the quartet for the End of Time, right?
That's right. And we did not play the quartet for the End of Time, but the clarinetist, Alex Fitterstein, played the clarinet solo movement. And I played some pieces of Liszt, and then with Elena Uriosti and Nicholas Kanellakis, we played the Fauré piano trio. So it was sort of a mixed program with various combinations, but all sort of tied in with this theme of composers inspired by nature. And that was the idea behind the project.
You live in New York City, right?
That's right.
Do you get to sit in a garden very often?
Well, no, but I live actually quite close. I live in Washington Heights in Manhattan, very close to Fort Tryon Park where the Cloisters are. And I live literally 5 minutes from there. So I, on my breaks from practicing composing, I go, like any tortured artist and walk around in the outdoors, the gardens, and check it out. And Wave Hill is only a very short Uber ride from my house. So I do go hang out there and did explore these gardens in preparation for writing this piece. I did visit all of them. But it was cool. It was different for me because I never wrote a piece about gardens before. And it was a unique experience, I think.
This is kind of an obvious thing to say, but one of the best things about gardens is how they change because of the seasons. And one,
of course,
from visit to visit, they can be showing completely different things and have different characters to them.
Absolutely. And they change from day to day, hour to hour. The land, they're always, something is always in bloom and something is not. And that was, what I did was, you know, basically try to capture how I felt experiencing being in these gardens rather than matching up a certain flower with a certain musical motive. So I basically just tried to create an impression of how I felt and the sounds I heard listening very, you know, attentively in these gardens.
What would you say is in your toolkit as a composer, some of the influences we might hear?
Well, I studied at Juilliard, piano and composition. And in composition, I studied with a man named Samuel Adler, who just celebrated his 90th birthday. And he was a student of Aaron Copland. So I feel, as a composer, I feel very close to that world of American composers such as Copland and Bernstein and Lucas Faust and George Perle, and all of these composers have influenced me. Obviously, I also love Mendelssohn and Beethoven and Bach and all of those great composers as well. So I feel like the cool thing about, you know, leading this double life is that my music is often evolving all the time, and I'm often influenced by what I'm practicing or what I'm playing at the moment as well, whether it be American music or, you know, Brahms' Second Piano Concerto. So I feel like it all goes into the, you know, like you said, toolkit, or I would say like this well of experience or a relationship with the music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about being a musician or a composer is kind of learning how people are not set in stone. So part of your work is learning about yourself and discovering new things about yourself.
Absolutely. And that's something that I work on and try to acknowledge every day. I mean, there are certain, struggles or, for lack of a better word, just hurdles that one, you know, it's a very interesting process, this life as a musician, because I'm, you know, doing all sorts of various concerts and commissions. But, you know, after I had this concert in Phoenix over the weekend, and then instantly I have to, you know, shift gears and practice my, you know, American solo piano recital inspired by Leonard Bernstein and friends. And sometimes it's a little bit, you know, tricky to every day kind of keep that going and keep it at a level that you feel comfortable sharing with people. So you really do put yourself out there all the time. There's never really a moment where you sort of sit back on the couch and exhale. But I'm working on that.
Yeah, there's you need some strategies to take care of your own muse.
That's right. No, it's definitely an interesting life. Because we're, you know, musicians today, I don't think are really just sort of presenting one program a season for 60 concerts where they can, you know, tour it around, perhaps like certain recitalists did of the past, or they would take a couple of programs and a couple of concertos. Now there's so much to do with chamber music and solo and concerto and composing that one, you know, we have to really plan accordingly, prepare very carefully in advance. So that's something I'm learning constantly about how to manage.
There's a famous person in your life who at this point does have a little bit of luxury to call the shots himself and focus on, say, one composer for an entire recital, and that's Sir Andras Schiff. Would you talk about your relationship with Andras Schiff?
Sure. Well, he's one of my, you know, musical idols, as a pianist and as a thinker and as a person. So I've been going to his concerts for the last 10 years, maybe every time he plays in New York. And we met and I played for him, and he invited me to do these series that he was running where he was sort of helping out younger pianists get recitals in Europe and organized concert tours, essentially. So last year, I played 8 recitals in Europe and at the 92nd Street Y in New York with his help. So, yes, he's a wonderful person, and he we crafted the program together that I was going to play, which was Mendelssohn and Leonard Bernstein, which he was unfamiliar with, and Beethoven Eroica Variations in one of my pieces. Uh-huh. So it was kind of a, you know, two Germanic and two American composers, and I got to do it eight times, which is really rare these days to get a chance to really play a recital that many times and to get deeper into the music each time and to really experience how it evolves through that process.
One of the things I like about the program you've planned for your concert at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, which is Friday, May 4th at 2 p.m. in the Wellspring Theater of the Epic Center, is that it's not solid Bernstein. You're referring to his music and his personality with many of his friends included on the program and a piece you composed yourself. Could you describe him as the person you see?
Yeah. I mean, I've been obviously a huge fan of Bernstein since I was a kid. I've been, in every way, his piano playing, his compositions, his lectures, his teaching. I feel like I know him in some weird way. Although, I was too young and he didn't, you know, he died when I was three. So I just have been playing. I realized I was playing a lot of pieces by Copland and Bernstein, works that really influenced me as a composer over a number of years. And then when I learned that 2018 would be his centenary, and there are a lot of Bernstein celebrations going on worldwide, I thought this would be nice sort of solo recital to put those works that I had been playing for a long time all together on the same program, and then discover even more links between them. So it's actually a very, you know, in some ways, a very personal program for me, but also the works themselves have many personal ties to each other. For example, Aaron Copland's Piano Sonata, which I'll be playing, was a piece that Bernstein studied with Copland and played it a lot and recorded it. You know, I think one of the first recordings of the piece and one of the great ones is Leonard Bernstein's playing of Copland's Piano Sonata. So those types of links appear on my program.
Of course, people who knew Bernstein still alive today. Have you been able to visit with people who remember Leonard Bernstein?
Yes. Various people that I know had many different associations with Bernstein. One is Leonard Bernstein's daughter, Jamie Bernstein, who I've had the pleasure of getting to know a little bit over the last couple of years in various different places, Moab, Utah, where there's a festival there that I sort of go every year called the Moab Music Festival, and she tends to come every year. Shirley Pearl, who is the widow of composer George Pearl, and Shirley is someone I've known since I was 15 years old when I walked into their apartment and played her husband's music for them, including a piece that's dedicated to Leonard Bernstein, which will be on my program, which I want to talk about in a second. But Shirley was an old friend of Leonard Bernstein's from the days, from the early 40s, when they were both students at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia. She was studying piano, and he was a triple major, Bernstein, studying piano, conducting, and composition. And the first piece I play on the program is one of Leonard Bernstein's anniversaries which is dedicated to Shirley Pearl. So Bernstein wrote these various short piano pieces celebrating milestone birthdays of friends and colleagues and family members, and he called them anniversaries. So I've created a little set, I believe, of six at the beginning of the program that shows his interesting personal connections. There's one for Shirley Pearl and one for Aaron Copland and one for Lucas Foss and so on.
It's a wonderful way to make this larger-than-life character a lot more personal, to play these miniatures, these quick thoughts that capture his own sentiments rather well.
They definitely capture and evoke a mood. You know, they each are very thoughtful and beautiful pieces, and just a wonderful way to make it personal like that and showcase a different side of Bernstein. But then I also play a larger piece of his called Touches, which is a chorale theme and variation, he calls it. It's about 9 minutes, and it's a piece from 1981 that was written for the Van Cliburn competition. So it's a very, very different type of piece from the anniversaries. It's more in the Aaron Copland, stark, dissonant world of maybe the 1930s, that kind of a sonority. So it gives a certain contrast, a different look on his own, you know, compositions for the piano.
What do you do with Constellations and Toccata, the piece of yours that's on the program?
Yeah, well, there's actually two pieces of mine on the program. There's that piece, which is a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago for a pianist friend named Orion Weiss, who shares his name with the Constellation Orion, the hunter.
We've seen him at the Gilmore before, yeah.
And he is coming to play, I believe, this year as well, a couple of days after I am. So there are lots of connections, you know, here. And I think Orion may have even been a Gilmore Young Artist, if I'm not mistaken. And he's one of my best friends. So one thing I love, I guess, not to compare myself to Bernstein, but Orion asked me for this piece because he was doing a program of toccatas. And I wrote him this piece that he played various places, the Ravinia Festival and other places. And then I sort of hijacked it back away from him, and I've been playing it myself. I tried to capture a little bit of his fun personality in the work. The first movement is... it's essentially one movement in two sections. There's a slow section that's nocturnal and sparse and has a certain tranquility and stillness. And then there's this very frenetic, perpetual motion toccata-like section that's very virtuoso and brilliant in that way, because Orion is that, you know, such a wonderful virtuoso. So I made it hard and I for him, and then I, you know, suffered over it myself. So, so that's the type of piece, and it's a piece that I've been playing a lot. And then I wrote another piece for this program, which was in the style of the Bernstein anniversary. So it's my little anniversary, in quotations, for him, and I called it 100 Chords for Bernstein. It's literally 100 chords.
You had to count.
I had to count. Yeah, I've been doing this as well, writing some couple of tribute pieces for friends, for my pianist friend Adam Golka's 30th birthday last year, another Gilmore artist. I wrote him 30 chords for Adam. So I've been doing, I like doing this kind of a fun birthday or celebratory type pieces, influenced by Bernstein. So this program will have my short, very short piece, 100 chords for Bernstein. It's in a sort of poignant style. So I'm looking forward to playing that too.
Does the program close with music we're all familiar with, the Suite from West Side Story?
Yes, but I don't think that many people are familiar with this version of it. This is four selected movements by another pianist composer of the Bernstein Copeland Circle, Leo Smith, who's a really wonderful pianist and composer. And he arranged four movements from West Side Story for solo piano, which is a lot of fun, and about a 10-minute excerpt from West Side Story. So I think it should be a fun and familiar way to close the program, which I'm really excited about.
Well, you know, I'm excited about two things. Getting to know who Leonard Bernstein was a little better through your music, and also getting to know you better, because it's wonderful to have you returning to Kalamazoo, but I hope it keeps happening. And I hope you have a wonderful concert on May 4th at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. And thanks for talking to me, Michael.
Thank you so much, and I can't wait to be back there and to play very soon. Looking forward to it.